You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
Well, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? I mean, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. You feel it?
It's a faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of Doctor Who universe. Hold tight, you never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Who are you?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that again. Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe. Now please, get off this planet while you still have a choice.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Earth Station Who. And yes, folks, we are here to talk about, ready from this, we are going back to the Fifth Doctor era, and we are talking all about, that's right, we are talking about Warriors of the Deep. We talked about the Silurians a couple episodes back, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to, you know, talk about another Silurian story before, you know, they came back in the new series. And Mike was like, you know, Faber, we haven't had done a Fifth Doctor story. And I said, you're just in luck because it has the Sea Devils and the Silurians in it. And this is what we get.
So I am blaming both of you for this.
Oh, thanks, Mary. Thanks. Yes, we are here and we are talking all about the Fifth Doctor story, Warriors of the Deep. And Mike and Mary are here. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Howdy.
And, you know, after the glory that was the Five Doctors, and we get this story, the beginning of the next season, and actually this is the beginning of the end for Peter Davison, because this is, you know, the beginning of his last season as Doctor. So it's interesting. The companions are Turlough and Tegan. So it should be interesting to talk all about it. But of course, we want to hear from you guys at home. We have the new email address, which is earthstationwho@esonetwork.com. Can't get much more simpler than that, folks. Definitely want to hear from you guys. And, you know, please write us. And we do have a piece of email we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's go to Doctor Who news. And guess what, folks? There is no Doctor Who news. Who am I kidding? Mm-hmm. You know, we are in such a drought, it's not even funny.
You know, not even San Diego Comic-Con brought out anything Doctor Who-ish, you know?
No, not at all. I was actually really surprised after, you know, all the different things that were coming out and such a big presence that Doctor Who had last year. That was Jodie's first appearance as, you know, representing Doctor Who. And it was, you know, like a coming out party. And it was like a ghost town for Doctor Who this time. It was really weird.
Yeah, I really don't get the BBC marketing strategy. You know, why just go silent?
No, exactly. And, you know, they did announce that, you know, the Cybermen are going to be coming back next season. Yay. And, you know, a couple other things, but we're not going to talk about it till we get further and closer to, you know, real updates. And, you know, we don't like, you know, saying, oh, the whispers are this person's coming back, or this story's going to be about it. When I see it, you know, from a true source, then we'll start talking about it. And we were hoping to get that at San Diego, even maybe a teaser trailer or an announcement of a holiday special or something. Nothing. And I do emphasize on nothing.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Didn't we get three new Doctor Who pops?
Three new Doctor Who pops. Yes, we did, but that was before San Diego.
And I thought they were going to debut there.
No, they didn't. They put out pictures, but they haven't announced release dates yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but, you know, for all of you out there, I know you're going to be probably disappointed. There's not a Graham Doctor, you know, pop figure yet.
There's no Graham pop figure? What?
I know. I just heard a sudden, you know, sense of urgency in the Force, you know. There is no Graham Doctor Who pop figure. Sorry.
Because Graham's getting his own statue.
Exactly. He's going to get a, you know, one of those giant size pops that you see now. You know, everyone else is going to be low, you know, below him and everything. But, you know, then they'll probably forget about who the other companions are anyway. So it's all right.
Are there other companions?
Wait a minute. Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's a good point. So it is the Graham show. You know, they should just name it Graham. You could tell we've been a long way without Doctor Who, folks. A long, long way. So, yeah, we do have those new pops coming, and the one that stood out the most to me actually is the one with Jodie with the welding goggles on.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did also notice people have been posting, like, ads and, you know, stories about pop figures, people selling them at San Diego Comic-Con, and, you know, how, you know, a lot of the con-exclusive ones are going for a ton of money. They showed a picture of the Jodie one that they released last year, which is slightly different than the one that they released to the general public later, which was just her in, you know, the suspenders and her usual outfit. But the one they had at San Diego was her in her jacket and such. And that one was going for over $200 to $250.
Wow.
And it's like, yep, too rich for my blood.
Yep, I won't be getting that one.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. So you can, you know, it's, you know, I could go onto eBay now and see how much and I'll just get nosebleeds. You know, I just don't need that. It's, you know, there's prices for pop figures and even stuff I won't pay. So it'll be interesting to see because, you know, I'm curious to see what other pop figures that they're going to be coming out with. You know, I would love to see some of the other older doctors get pop figures finally.
Yeah. Well, they still haven't done all the doctors, right?
No, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. They need to complete that set.
Well, I think they've only done Tom and they've done Tom and the first doctor.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think they've done Peter yet.
No, they haven't done Peter. They haven't done Colin. They haven't done Sylvester. They haven't done John or Patrick.
Yeah.
And also, they haven't done even Dr. 8.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, they have a lot of Doctor Who still to go. It'd be actually.
Yeah, you think that would be a no-brainer.
Well, it'd actually be pretty cool to get a Delgado Master also.
Oh, yeah.
Or an Ainley Master, you know, pop figure. I think would be pretty cool. They did do a K-9, so. And they did Sarah Jane, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because she's holding the Adrid, you know, hand. So. Yeah, and they could do an empty box and say it's out, you know, you could say it's Adric, you know, after the explosion.
Oh.
Wow.
Too soon. No, actually, it's not.
No. Nope, nope, nope. I bet the Leela one would be very popular. But, you know, just saying. And, you know, they could have 14 versions of the Romana one because each in it one. Just saying, folks. Just saying. And I know, you know, everyone would just love to get the Perry and the... No, I won't even mention her name.
I just, you know, I would be keen to guess, like, or to know what their strategy is. Because, I mean, obviously the new season, obviously you want to promote that. And but, of course, you know, I mean, even though you mentioned the one that was really cool... of the new wave is the doctor with the you know, the welding glasses and all that, and the Dalek's pretty cool too, but then the messenger droid, like, what?
Yeah, that was going on with marketing? Like,
who thought that would be a good idea? And yeah, just the fact that, I mean, they should sort of plan at least to give us a couple of doctors every. You know, maybe every year, right? So you can finally get them all. And Because, you know, I mean, all of us want to complete a set.
Oh, of course. I would love to.
I don't think they understand that Doctor Who fans are like the most completest people.
Oh, yeah. Ever. Well, I did just find out that, and it wasn't even announced. I just found out about it. They did a Pating from this last season of Doctor Who. That was that little creature that was eating the ship.
Yeah.
As a San Diego exclusive. Did you know that? Yeah. I didn't know that.
But why?
I know. Because Doctor Who fans are completists, as you like to say. Right now you can get it for $30 online. I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, next year you'll be able to get it for $10.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see. But, yeah, the messenger from Kablam. It was
bizarre. That's just bizarre. I just
scratch my head at some of the decisions that they make. Yeah. And I don't know if this is Funko, like say we want that, or if this is, you know, BBC going, this is what we're giving.
Yeah. I mean, is BBC just saying this is all we're going to license?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they choosing what they're choosing? It's
very odd. But, I mean, I suppose you could say that for, like, a lot of the, you know, marketing decisions. I haven't really been paying close attention to the Doctor Who, like, releases as far as toys and all that goes. So I don't know what sells, what doesn't sell, what you can get, what's available. I don't even know if you can get all the Doctors in action figure form or, you know, it's certainly, like, whether it's 5-inch or 12-inch or however big, you know, a lot of them are, so...
I think they have completed those, like the 5-inch ones for the action figure ones. But, you know, they're far and few between being able to find them, but they are out there.
Well, I do remember, the last thing I remember really was that they had that set that they were selling. And this was, I think, during Matt's era. And then it was like just a box of all... At that point, I think it was, 12 doctors? Might have been 11 at that point, really. And then they, you know, in that big case that folded, you know, with a folded over thing. But I know that they exist in some form. And
William had the ones that looked like they could fit into, like, a Lego set.
Oh, yeah, those, right.
Yeah, because he had the box of them that looked like the TARDIS, and you opened it, and it had all the doctors stacked on top of each other.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Now, I do believe, speaking of Doctor Who and toys in San Diego, I do believe our good friend Kelly Yates was there promoting the toys that he helps design, right?
No, yes. I didn't realize Kelly was there, but that's awesome.
I'm glad Kelly was there.
Kelly was definitely at San Diego this year. Because I know I think for the first time he took his family. And he designs, what are they called? Are they Chiblis or what are those things called? Like they're like Funko.
Yeah, but they're not. Funko. Yeah.
They're kind of, their heads are smaller. Their bodies are like more in proportion.
You're talking about, I think that's made by Funko also.
I don't know that. And I know he's done designs for all the doctors of those. So I'm guessing that they're toys. And those are the ones where I think you get Kawaiis. That's what they are. Kawaii. And he's designed a bunch of those. And I think that they were available, like you could get them like in those boxes where you don't know what you're getting, like those surprise boxes or whatever, or bags, and then you just have to buy them and enough of them until you get all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he does more with Kauai than just Doctor Who. He's done a series of My Hero Academia ones as well. And I know that the 13th Doctor has a TARDIS that she comes with as well.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a twin pack. But that was released like earlier this year. So I don't know. I don't know if there was a new one that he debuted at San Diego. I love Kelly, but his website doesn't like, and his web pages aren't like as quick to report like all the new stuff that he does that often. He needs a press person.
Don't we all?
But then again, I mean, some of it's not even in his control. Cause I know that when the DVD came out with his cover on it, I know that he had no idea when that was coming out. He thought that was coming out in October and it came out in June. So
that's cool.
But anyway, happy for him. And obviously that, I get they're a little bit more anime looking too. His are, they have the huge eyes and unlike the Funkos with the black dots, like his actually have like his eyes actually have pupils. They look like anime eyes. They're huge. And they look like they look kind of sad. Cause I always think anime eyes look kind of sad, but anyway, sorry.
No, it's good. It lent into the conversation.
Anyway, yeah, they're cool. I think they might have more articulation than Funko, because I think you can bend the arms or something.
Well, that's cool.
I've never really had one. I've seen them, but I haven't really played with one, or so I don't know really.
Oh, Mikey needs to play with some toys. Okay, got it. That totally makes sense.
It just seems strange that, I mean, here we are. There's no news. We have to talk about the toys because there's nothing else to talk about. Not that it's not fun to talk about the toys, but you would think if you had a long, they don't seem to understand how it works in the marketing works in this century. Because if you have a long gap like this, well, that's a golden opportunity, which they created by themselves. But that's a golden opportunity to use social media. Why don't you release mini episodes? Why don't you do Instagram stories? Why don't you? I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do to keep it alive.
Well, look at what CBS All Access is doing with Star Trek Discovery. And they are doing mini episodes between seasons.
Yeah. I mean, why? It seems like that, you know, film a little something while you're filming the season. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
I get the impression that the BBC is, they kind of feel like, I don't want to say they take it for granted, but they're kind of like, look, it's Doctor Who. We don't really have to do a lot because I'm not saying they're right in thinking that, but I think that they are going to, I get that attitude from them. Like, oh, it's Doctor Who. You know, they'll come back because the fans are there and they'll just come back automatically for it.
Or as we like to say, because Doctor Who.
Yeah. The Doctor Who fans, it's almost shy of the Doctor Who fans will put up with whatever we give them because they just, we have them on the hook.
I can totally see that.
Yeah. That's only the core fans. I mean, the more casual fan or when you want to get new people coming in.
Oh, no, I agree. And I think there's a real big confusion with the BBC on how to market Doctor Who because they're not really sure is it a kid's show? Is it, you know, what is it now? And there's questions on how to best market that kind of thing.
Yeah, makes total sense.
I mean, it's not, I don't think it's that hard. I think you're right. I think they just kind of take it for granted. And it's too bad because I think they're really missing out on a golden opportunity in that, you know, it's nothing lasts forever.
Well, I'm okay with that because, look, I collect enough things. So if they don't give me a lot of really enticing Doctor Who stuff to be tempted by, I'm fine with that.
Well, it doesn't have to be merchandise, though. I mean, I'm
merchandise,
talking about
merchandise.
I mean, you know, have some social media presence. And I don't mean like just like the official Doctor Who Instagram. It basically just keeps reblogging old photos from the last series. So yeah. What?
But that's what they expect us to be happy with.
Yeah. The yeah, they did a thing the other day, like I think it was a couple weeks ago, where they like they posted like a number one, and then like this next day number two, and I'm like, what are we counting down to or counting up for? And it was just nothing. They were just like showing like different doctors each day for no apparent
no
reason.
Particular reason.
I just because, I like, thought they were just showing us, hey, we know how to count.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was like, oh, okay, way to kill a week. Or 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, maybe here's because they really care about my advice. So here it is. Hire a 16-year-old. Sponsor them in your marketing department. And I bet they will do more to bring attention to the series than probably anybody else who's there right now.
Wow.
Because they know what they're doing. I'm not sure that the rest of the BBC marketing does. But I don't think they care what I have to say anyway. So
yes, where's all the Graham merchandise?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about dropping the ball.
No, we could have Graham hand puppets, Graham oven mitts, Graham towels, Graham exactly. What's wrong with them?
I'm just having nightmares now. Thanks, guys.
We're just really trying to delay talking about worries.
We are. We're doing pretty good so far.
Yeah, I know. But guess what, kids? Time to jump in with both feet. It's time to talk all about Warriors of the Deep. You guys ready? Let's go back to the wonderful January 5th, 1984. And it ran for four episodes. And saw the return of an old foe of the Doctor's. So
two old foes.
Well, yeah, two old foes. But, you know, we haven't seen the other one yet, so we don't know how old or foe-ish they are. And they have really soft voices for something so big.
Yeah, that was, well, I was going to say that was a bad choice for the voice, but there's really nothing but bad choices.
This was not a good story, folks. This really is not, you know, one of the better Peter Davison stories. And it wasn't, you know, it was the typical base under siege story. And it was very dark in a lot of ways, too.
I was stunned because when it starts, you know, the credits say, you know, Warriors of the Deep, written by Johnny Byrne. And I was like, Johnny Byrne, like he wrote like a ton of really great Space 1999. Like he is one of the best great Space 1999 writers that they had on staff. And I was thinking, okay, I didn't know that he, you know, turned in a couple of Doctor Who episodes. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And when it starts, I'm thinking, whoa, this has got a real Space 1999 vibe to it, right?
Even the space station looked like it.
Yeah. But it looks like a really cheap knockoff of Space 1999. And I can see where there's elements here that might have been good on paper. But, like, this is, like, an extremely, like, it's almost like he turned in the first draft and they're like, great, let's film it.
To be fair, he has said that Eric Saward kind of took his story and messed with it.
So it got hijacked?
Yes, basically.
Gotcha.
So that might have something to do with it.
I can see that because unfortunately, yes, we are in the era of Sayward as the script editor, and of course John Nathan Turner as the producer, which is not my favorite era. And I'm just going to start off also by saying, if you really like Warriors of the Deep, if this is your favorite episode, if one of your favorite stories, and you cherish this, you might want to just skip the rest of this because I don't think we're going to be terribly kind. And I do apologize because I know every episode is someone's favorite, but ooh,
this is bleak.
This is really bleak.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's yeah, it just yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
The directing, the writing, the costume design, the production design, the lighting, it's all bad.
Well, look at those costumes they had. They looked like something out of Dr. No. You know, and that's being mean to James Bond. Come on.
The Merca is like a green pantomime horse, like a bad pantomime horse costume that you got at Party City for $10. I mean, it's terrible.
I was watching the extras to this, and they were very proud of the Merca at the time.
I feel sorry for them. Maybe there's a lot of drinking going on.
It's one of the worst. It really is one of the worst.
It's terrible.
It's not like, and they shot it in like light that like never should be used for creatures,
monsters at
all, because it's like the brightest light they could find other than the sun.
I just did not understand that at all. And I probably don't notice the lighting that much in a lot of episodes. I mean, unless it's too dark. But wow, it was really obvious that this was badly lit. And why would you do that if you already have a costume that is perhaps not as great as it could be? Well, there are ways to make it better.
Can you imagine how much better the story would be in darker light and more mood lighting?
Oh yeah, it could be like with a competent director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the director. This was.
But yeah, this is you could have made this like if it, you know, looked, had sort of an Aliens feel to it, right? Or an alien feel to it, like with mm-hmm. that kind of darkness, or even Red Dwarf is like better when it comes to like setting mood on their station than this is.
You're not hearing an argument from me.
I mean, man, it's just like, it's too easy to take pot shots at this. I mean, it's just like, where do you turn?
Yeah, I mean, the samurai helmets.
I will say, okay, so when it starts and the TARDIS lands or whatever, and then they get into a little bit of trouble and they're running away, and that stunt of the Doctor falling into the water, mm-hmm. I thought was pretty like shocking. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, it looked like whoever did that stunt, like, did it really poorly. Like, it just looked like it hurt a lot.
Yeah, well, I wondered. I mean, did they just pull one of the poor production assistants? Were they like, okay, you're going to do this?
And he was like, excuse me, what? And it was like, you saw that, and it was just like, oh, did they just throw a dummy in there or something? It was just like, bleh. And you could almost see the cut where they did it.
Yeah, it was just really inept.
It does say in the Wikipedia entry for this that it was during production of this story that Peter Davison and Janet Fielding announced their departures from the series.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
They were like, yeah, this is, what are we doing?
this is it.
I mean, you know, bless her, we saw her earlier this year at the last Wholanta, but, and you know, I love Janet Fielding, but I'm not a big Tegan fan, and she doesn't do anything in this that changes my opinion. I haven't seen a lot of Turlough, so I know that there's like a story with him and all that, and I've never really seen enough of Turlough to get his story. So I don't really know a lot about him. I just, whenever I see him, he seems like, oh, he seems like maybe he could be a cool guy. And then he ends up being really pretty much useless.
He is like almost like a snake.
Yeah, he's got a whole backstory.
Yeah, there's a whole story that you kind of saw starting, I think it was with Margin Undead, which we did review quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was his first appearance.
Right. And this is right. Is this right after that?
There's like a three storyline arc with him dealing with the whole Black Guardian stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
And then there's a couple more episodes. Mark Strickland did a great job as Turlo, you know, throughout, you know, you didn't see it in this story, but he was such a weasel. He was kind of like, you never knew where he really stood until the very end of his run. You always thought he was going to betray the Doctor, that type of thing.
Well, he does in this story. I mean, there's a couple of times where he's just like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to the TARDIS. Doctor's dead. I'm just leaving. Even though the story opens with him saying, I want to stay. So in the sense of the story, you do get to see him flip-flop around. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, he has some... Yeah, you know, it's Tegan is the one that's like, no, we have to go back for him. We have to go back for him. We have to, you know, and he's the one that's just, I don't know why we're here. Let's just get out of here.
Yeah, well, that's kind of his character's kind of reluctantly good when he has to be. I mean, but that's his character trait. But I think both, you know, Tegan and Turlo are just not served by the story here, to be fair. They're not given anything to do. They're given terrible dialogue. And there's not much they can do with it.
No, exactly.
And it's just too much. I mean, there's this whole like story or background where there's two groups on Earth that are fighting, and the sea base is important and is a key strategic position for that. But they use it because obviously there's a couple of the crew betray the others because they're working for the other side. But it's too complicated with those two, as well as, you know, the Silurians and Sea Devils getting together. It's kind of like, this is just too much. Like, it's just too much to keep track of. And in a great, like, storyteller's hands, it's a lot to keep track of. But in this, it just all falls apart.
Yeah. I mean, none of the storylines are good.
I mean, it just feels so chaotic. And it just kind of is frustrating because you're like, oh, what am I? Oh, that's, what is he doing again? Oh, okay. You got this guy who plugs into a computer for some reason, and it's just, yeah.
That could have been interesting. And they could have actually made that really horrifying when he's co-opted and used against his nature, but that goes nowhere.
No. And all it did was basically kill off that one character.
Yeah. And you didn't even care at that point. I mean, because you don't care about any of the characters here.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, and usually, you know, usually with Doctor Who, they do a pretty good job with casting, so that even if the characters are not as well developed, like the cast will sort of fill the gaps, right, and make them so that you're like, oh, I actually care about that person because of the, you know, the way. And it seemed like there were decent actors in this, certainly. But when Karina seems like an interesting kind of character and played very well, but when she dies, I just was like, I don't care.
No, there wasn't any of them. Doctor, she's dead. And the Doctor's like, oh. It's like, you know, you had in the Ninth Doctor era, everybody lives. In this one, not so much.
No. That was one thing that was very, it's really foreshadowed in the beginning, because they're going by like all these tanks, and he's like, that stuff is lethal to fish and sea life. Oh, well, I don't know why you have that here. And then you just move on like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, none of us know why it's there, because they never tell us why it's there.
Right. It's only there because it's going to be used at the end. And then, you know, despite the fact that the Silurians and Sea Devils are just flat out attacking the base and people are dying, the Doctor's like, I don't want to kill them. It's so funny because and Peter's doing his blessed heart by saying like things like, you know, they have they're a society full of all this like imagination and creativity and technology, and they're just a beautiful race. And yet you just see these guys in rubber suits and you're like, yeah, I'm not seeing it.
You know, yeah. Not buying it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, these guys, like you're gonna side with these rubber things over humans. It doesn't work.
Well, not to mention that he knows they're planning genocide.
Well, exactly. And they were gonna kill off the whole human race, and he was like gonna go, well, maybe I could talk to them about that. They seem kind of reasonable. And it's like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, he kept acting like the Silurian was the one that he knew from the last story. You know that guy died, and the one that was in command was like a hard edge, like, I'm going to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It is interesting, though, that the way that story ended, because we just saw that one with the third doctor, the doctor's pissed because the humans, blow up the Silurian base. Mm-hmm. And so there is that kind of follow through with this doctor, even though it's like two doctors later, that he's pissed about that still.
Yeah, and you could actually understand why the Silurians might be a little pissed off about the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely, but they don't use anything to. Yeah, that's all wasted.
To know them as characters at all.
Right. That's like us really filling in, like trying to fill in some gaps here, right. And because the story doesn't really give that. And also, speaking of the cast, big waste of Ingrid Pitt. I mean, I'm as a Hammer horror fan, I'm a big fan of Ingrid Pitt a lot, and I'm like, this is. She just was wasted in this. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, I felt bad for her. I just felt bad for her.
I'm like, oh, Ingrid Pitt's in a Doctor Who episode? This should be pretty. Oh, no, she's in this one.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the thing. And the only chuckle I actually even got about this was that the guy who was, getting brainwashed by the people from the other side, who they really weren't explaining that. His name was Maddox.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I was like, oh, where's his pull string in the back? Got it. But yeah, it was just like, this was just a bad, bad episode.
Yeah, usually there's something. There's one thing at least you can point to and say, oh, well, that's not so bad. They tried. I don't think there is. I don't think there's one redeeming quality in care.
Well, I watched this on BritBox, and yeah, I guess I'm glad I didn't buy this. So I watched this on BritBox, and I actually, before we recorded, I asked Mike, I'm like, is this story on the Blu-ray of the Fifth Doctor that just came out? And, Mike was like, no. Because I think that's Peter's first season, right?
Yes.
And and this is Peter's last. So but I will tell you that when I started watching this on the BritBox, it looked really sharp. Like it had gotten an upgrade in terms of high def. And which didn't do the effects any favors.
No, it did not.
No, you were like saying, I could see the zippers on the alien. It's awesome. Yeah.
I'm like, man, this looks so clear. I can see the zippers.
Oh, no.
I could tell the mouse is not moving.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it on my brand new 65-inch TV, and I'm like, oh, I should have watched it on the laptop because this is not helping.
Yeah, I could understand that. I actually fell asleep watching this one because I had gotten home from hanging with Judy, and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And I made it like halfway through the second episode, and I realized I had fallen asleep. And
you didn't miss much.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure most of the actors were kind of sleepwalking through this too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It's man, I don't want to keep beating this up.
Should we give it a rating then? Should we put it out of its misery?
No.
See, now it puts me in a bad position, though, because now I'm like, okay, is it better than Ghostlight?
That's always your barometer.
Well, I actually have gone lower. than Ghostlight on this show.
Oh, that's right. You have.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What's it going to be, Mikey? 1 out of 5 TARDISes. 1 being the worst, 5 being the best.
I can't see how I can give this more than a 1. Like, I really can't. Like, for Doctor Who. Now, is this better than watching, like, you know, reality TV and some of that crap? Sure, it is, you know? And, you know, it's got Peter in it, and Peter's great. Like, he tries so hard to sell a lot of this. It's not his fault at all. He's just working with nothing, really. Nobody's given him anything, and he's struggling. He's drowning in this underwater base. So I'll give the 1 star for Peter. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Mary.
Yeah. I think I'm going to sum it up this way. Have I ever seen worse television? Yes. Do I ever want to see this again? No. So, I'm not sure I can give it a 1.
I mean, wow.
That's reaching. You know, I think I'm going to give it a 0.75. Because this is bad, folks. It's just, every part of it is bad. To be honest, I wasn't even that impressed with Peter, though I don't think that's entirely his fault. I think it's really just, he had a terrible script to work from and a terrible director.
Okay. I totally understand that. I always like to say I'm never going to give Doctor Who under a 3.
but
there's X, you know, this is one I think I have to. I probably will give this one, I want to say probably, I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'm being generous because it's.
What are you giving the 1.5 to?
I'm giving that it ended.
That's so far. Wow.
That it wasn't a 6-episode story. You know, it was a really great chance, truthfully, for them to do some great stuff by bringing back a true classic Doctor Who villain that deserved a great story. And combining 2 of them, actually, you know, combining for the first time ever the Silurians and the Sea Devils.
Yeah, there was no reason for that in the story.
No, there wasn't. Just wake our brothers, you know.
Well, it was like, even if there was a reason, I couldn't understand the MFers. Like, I just couldn't, like, I'm like, do I need to put the subtitles on? Because I just don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, I put the subtitles on.
I did too, actually. And it didn't help.
Yeah,
should have it just really didn't off. Help. It was like, yeah, all right, no, not that good. So what do you guys think at home? We want to hear what you guys think. This might be somebody's favorite episode out there.
I'm so sorry if it is.
So please write us at earthstationwho@esonetwork.com. We definitely would love to hear from you guys. All right, folks. Hopefully we're going to be going better next time. We are going.
I don't think how we could go much worse.
Oh boy, watch it.
Well, we're going to look at Ghostlight. No.
No, I know what we're doing next week, and it's way better than this.
Yes, it is. It is. We are next time going to look at the 4th Doctor era. That's right. We're going back to Tom Baker, and we are looking at the brains of Morbius.
Ooh.
Yes. So you're going to actually see some
so
of the
much better.
You're going to be actually able to see some of the Doctor's earlier regenerations in this. What do I mean?
Well, quote unquote.
Yes. I was going to say, what am I saying about that? You're just going to have to join us to find out. But until then, let's thank Mary for being here.
Well, usually I say it was great to be here, but no, wow. It really was great to be here.
I just love hanging everything. With you guys. You guys made it easier. You made it easier on the palate. So anything you want to promote?
You can find my artwork at maryhogle.com or on Etsy at eVision Arts.
Excellent. Excellent. And of course, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Well, as we've said many times before, unfortunately, even if the episode or the story is not to our liking, it is always my pleasure to join you guys and discuss it.
Well, it's always great talking to both you guys. Yep. And it makes bad Doctor Who really good to talk about.
It makes it a lot more fun.
Exactly.
The fact that we're all suffering together.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that being said, we will see you here next time on Earth Station Who. Peace. And we're done. Boom.
Yay! We're done.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talent from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
Hello, America. You like listening to knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do? Wilbur does, don't you, Wilbur? But what about Daisy? She likes to listen to shows about pop culture, movies, television, and comic books. Good thing Wilbur and Daisy found the Nerd Bliss Podcast. You, too, can find the Nerd Bliss Podcast at nerdblisspodcast.com and on the ESO Network. Just remember, Nerd Bliss is one word.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.